Okay, here we go. Now we're actually starting. Das Tefillah 44. Let's learn about the Avos and their relationship to starting Tefillos. So what exactly, we know that the Avos, according to the Sefer of Das Tefillah, played a significant role in bringing God back into the world. Right? We've discussed that the Avos were not the originators of the idea of monotheism. They weren't actually famous for being the first to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world. Adam HaRishon seemed to know there was a God. Noah seemed to know there was a God. Other people seem to know there's a God. You have Melchizedek, who meets Avram after the War of Sodom, and he's called the Kohen La'el Elyon. So it looks like there are other people around. So the question is, what was the role of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? So the Sefer explained that they're the ones who really brought him back to prominence. They reversed all the negative, all the sliding back. They didn't weren't the first people to ever notice there was a God. You can't say that. People are talking to God earlier in the Chumash. But they brought God back into prominence. So if that's really what the Avos did, if the role of the Avos was to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu back into the world, then what does Tefillah particularly have to do with that? The Avos are so synonymous with Tefillah. Each one created a Tefillah. So what is it? How exactly does this work? What is the connection with their Tefillah and the what revolution did they start with their Tefillah? Ha'avos heim reishis le'inyan ha'tefillah b'Yisrael. It shouldn't say le'agin. Le'inyan ha'tefillah b'Yisrael. So says the Maharal. V'yesh l'chol la'havin. Elu advarim. Whenever the Maharal says you should really understand this, we're like, I don't know, okay. I hope we understand it. But it would be nice if we understood these things. The Rebbe Yossi, right, the Gemara in Chav Vav Amud Beis in Brachos, brings two opinions as to what the source of the tefillos were. Where do we get three tefillos from? Rebbe Yossi says, tefillos avos tiknu. Tefillos are created by the avos. Savar ki hatfila hi hakiruv el Hashem yisbarach mitzad shehashem yitbarach hu ilah la'olam. Okay? We're going to see the whole next chapter, probably next year, who knows, sometime. The whole next chapter, we'll see what it means that tefillah is like a korban. But we're focusing now on the fact that the tefillos were established by the avos. So, Savar, again, ki hatfila hi hakiruv el Hashem yisbarach. Tfila is closing the gap between man and God. Mitzad shehashem yitbarach hu ilah la'olam, because God is the prime mover, or God is the provider of everything in the world. So, basically, what tfila does, by remembering there's a God, by turning back to God, by effectively praying to Him for all the needs that we have, we reconnect the world to Him. This is a very profound idea in and of itself. We've talked about that in different times. The idea that anything that I pray for, I effectively make godly. And that sometimes we feel that the small areas in the life, or the embarrassing areas in our life, or the petty areas in our life, are not really worth bringing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there's some value in that. You have to decide what you're going to talk about. You're not supposed to daven a 5-hour Shmoneh Esrei, right? You're not supposed to mention everything to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You do have to trim your list a little bit. But by taking things that are very mundane, and by asking Hashem about them, you've suddenly raised those things up. Those things are not so mundane anymore, right? If the example used by some of the early Musar Sfarim is that if your button falls off of your jacket, right? This was a time they only had one jacket. But if your button falls off your jacket, you should ask Hashem to get you a new button. Now that sounds like it's very silly. Come on, you're asking Hashem to get you a new button. But let me ask you a question. Which is more holy, a sefer or a jacket that brought you back in connection with Hashem? So what you're able to do is through tefillah, by tying things back to their source, you're effectively lifting them up, figuratively and literally. You're lifting them up and you're connecting them back to God. You're actually allowing my coat to serve its purpose. My coat, this may be the reason why the coat existed, so that one day the button could fall off and then I'd have to say, Tati, I need a button. Okay? So what tefillah does is tefillah brings the world closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu again by emphasizing our dependence on Hashem. The Ha'avos heim haschala la'olam. The Avos were a new world, a new start for the world. Lekach heim rishonim. And that's what it means that they were the first. Shehashem Yisparach ilah lahem, because God was for them a source of dependence. They recognized that they were dependent on Him. Ulekach ha'avos tfilos tiknum. And therefore, they created tfilos. Now, I have to admit, I don't understand exactly what the Maharal is saying here, because as the Maharal often does, he says things several times and has conjunctive and causal relationships between sentences that sometimes don't seem to be so simple. But I know basically what the Maharal is trying to tell us here. He's going to now explain for us. Nitbaer. Okay, we're going to explain. He's not going to leave it to us to figure out what this very strangely worded Maharal is saying. Shemachus maisa hatfilo. Hitamduto, it's supposed to say, hitamduto shel zeh hamitpalel kechaser lifnei hamelech. Machus maisa hatfilo. The essence of what tefillah is standing before God and putting out your hand. That's the essence of tefillah. To stand in front of Him and to say, I need something, you have something, you can, the one who can help me. Chaser b'chol inyanav. Chaser in everything. Bekinyanav, mishpachto, klal ma'arechet chayav, begeshem u'beruach. The essence of tefillah is to recognize that I need God for everything. I need Him for everything. Ha'amaka shel inyan zeh omeret. To deepening this idea means, Hamitpalel tzarich la'ameid b'tfila ke'alul b'fnei ilato. The whole essence of tefillah is that I'm needy, I'm the receiver, and I stand before the provider. That's the essence of tefillah. Perush, ein lo kiyum atzmi b'nifradot. I don't have anything. I can't do anything. I can't stand. I can't exist. I can't breathe. My heart won't beat. I won't exist. I'll poof. I'll vanish into thin air. The further I get down that hole, the closer I'm getting to what the purpose of tefillah is. Right? Kol mitziuto havayato hi beratzon HaBorei Yisbarach. I'm only here because you decided you want me to be here. You decided you want the world to be here. And not only that, you decided you wanted me to be here, which of course is a very important thing for us to remember every morning when we wake up, because we don't have to wake up. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu got us up another morning, it means that He wanted us to be here. What an incredible way to start the day, to be given a nod of approval by the coach, by the creator. Creator says, I need you today for something. Can you imagine if we took every single morning waking up that way? It's basically a phone call from the office from Shemayim saying, Penner, I need you for something today. And you say, what do you need me for? And then he hangs up. Oh, great. Okay, so I don't know exactly what. He says, go figure it out. Go figure it out. Read some Svarim. Ask your Rebbeim. I don't know. I can't. You have 5 seconds. That's it. I don't have the time to explain to you now exactly what it is you have to do today. But basically, every morning when we get up in the morning, we're getting a phone call that says, you're on a mission from God. As people were once said, I appreciate Rabbi Dreilich that you should get the reference. And a mission from God. And I have something for you to do today. The more that I deepen this idea, the more that I realize that my existence, I'm nothing, and I'm totally dependent on Hashem, kach yizke l'kiyum tachlis inyan tefillah, the more I will fulfill the idea and the purpose of tefillah. Kiruv v'hitzdabkus bo yisbaruch umilui chesronosav zu yediyah rishona. That's the first thing. First thing we got to know. O yediyah shalein alisbaim. But there's something else you got to know, he said. Habo yisbaruch yotzar es maise breishes liosam umdim b'fnei atzmam ve'osim et tafkidam. Even though we are completely dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He created us in such a way that we're supposed to be somewhat self-sufficient and able to, in our own minds, to be able to accomplish something. In other words, for dependent beings, He sure made us very capable. Right? We are incredibly capable dependent beings. On the one hand, we can't do anything without Him. On the other hand, if we couldn't do anything without Him, why did He give us a brain and hands and things and arms and legs? And it's true for everything in creation. Asher bara Elokim la'asot. God created things so they could then do things on their own. Even the tree. Whatever the thing is, God created everything in the world so that it could do more. Kol yitzur v'tafkido kol nivra u'peirotav. Every single thing has its tafkid. Every single thing has its peiros. Kach habria kula. So too is the entire creation. Mit amedet begadlusa v'tzivyona la'asot melachta. There's a question. He's borrowing the Lashon of the Gemara. Was everything created sort of as a seed? No. We assume everything was created ready to go. Everything was created ready to go, whatever that means. But certainly by the end of creation, everything was ready to do things by itself. Kechol shemit racheket, it's supposed to say. Kechol shemit racheket habriya minikudat habrishit shela. Yecholah lehitkabel hatfisa shehi omedet bifnei atzma. The closest that anything has, the world is supposed to be in a state where it realizes that it's nothing without Hashem. We're supposed to look every single morning as if we were created that day, and if God didn't create us, we wouldn't exist and we wouldn't be here. When's the last time somebody felt that? 57, 81 years ago. See, there was this guy that actually did get created that day. And he knew that he wasn't there the morning before, whatever that means. And he recognized that he wouldn't be there without HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he still messed up a few hours later. But okay, he had a good hour or so before things went south. But this idea is a phenomenal idea where he's explaining that basically, even though on the one hand, God created the world, and the tachlis of tefillah is to recognize that every second we're only here because He's willing us to be here. But for 57, 81 years, He's given the impression that it runs by itself. And every second that we get further away from creation, from the first human being who knew about creation, which was Adam HaRishon, the further we get away from minnekudat habreshit shela, from its creation moment, yecholah lehitkabel atfisa, the following idea could set in, shehi omedet bifnei atzma, that it's on its own. Shekiuma tok takef v'tivi. You'd think it has a strong foundation and it's natural. Velozu bilvad, ela sheyecholah lehishtaresh hata'ut, sheba atzma muna chamakor leshefa ulebracha. Furthermore, we can imagine that trees, that fruit comes from trees, when it really comes from Hashem. Now, if you asked me, I would tell you it comes from Stop and Shop. But Lemaisa, I understand it's not true. It doesn't actually come from the supermarket. So the fruit comes from the tree. But the fruit doesn't come from the tree. The fruit comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But for 57, 81 years, it kind of looks like the fruit is coming from the tree. And it gets harder and harder with each passing year to remember that the tree wasn't there always, and we weren't here always. V'kach im nisbonen, if you think about it, b'makbil l'divrei haramchal, b'mahalech hadoros me'odem arishon v'ad avram, because the Ramchal had explained to us that there was this whole yiridas hadoros in terms of avodah zarah. Zos be'inyin ha'avodah nira. Shahayirida b'tzuras adam. The falling of man from the time of Adam and on, hidrachakut mehamatzav ha'tchali shel habriya, moving away from that original perfect point of the creation, paga'a be'inyan ha'avoda. Be'inyan ha'avoda. What he's doing here is contrasting tefila and the unfolding of nature. The essence of tefila is to say the fruit comes from Hashem. It's the essence, the machus, the core idea of tefila is to remember every time I stand before him, to put things back in his sphere, to put things back, to give him the thank you, right? To give him the credit every time. But the world keeps spinning away and keeps moving away from a recognition that he's the one that should get the credit. So what happened from the time of Adam Harishon through the time of Avraham? What was that Yerida? The Yerida was forgetting that everything is from Hashem. What's the antithesis of forgetting that everything is from Hashem? Tefillah. So what he's going to explain is that when it says that the Avos created Tefillos, it's not just, as we've been describing, that they had different ways of relating to Hashem and they used their personalities to relate to Hashem. How did the Avos reverse the process that had started at the time of Adam Arishon, descended till Noach, maybe had a little bit of an uptick, descended all the way down to him? What's the opposite of the descend of the Yeridas Hadoros? The opposite is tefillah. So in this sense, tefillah doesn't even mean tefillah. It's what tefillah represents. Tefillah was the mechanism they used to get people to say, no, there is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Paga b'inyan avoda, hishtalusa shel ha'avodah zarah, kefi shemeta'eret barichas harambam, nav'a me'oto richok doros minikudas habreishas shobriya. The way the Rambam explains, the way that Avodah Zarah developed is an example of this idea. According to the Rambam, how did Avodah Zarah develop? The Rambam asked this question in the beginning of the laws of Avodah Zarah. How did people end up davening to the sun? Doesn't make any sense. Adam Arishon knew that God was the one. Noach knew that God was the one. So when did the great game of telephone end up getting messed up? So the Rambam tells us quite the story. Quite the story. The Rambam says it's impossible that someone who knew there was a God would have thought that sun is the God, or the moon was the God. How did we end up worshiping the sun and the moon? Because what we said was, listen, God is the main. He gives the example of the king and his ministers and his officers. So when the king comes to town, obviously you got to give praise to the king. But even when the officers come to town, you got to give them praise. People originally worshipped, said the Rambam, the sun and the moon, not as independent entities, but as helpers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Eventually, they took to the helpers and they forgot what was behind the whole system. They said, let's also worship the sun. And then they got, it was so much nicer and easier to worship the sun that they forgot to worship the one behind the sun. What is this process? He explains so in such a deep way. This is the process of forgetting about the real source and seeing the intermediaries as the source of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's blessing. Imagining that trees make fruit and supermarkets sell fruit and not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes fruit. So this entire Yerida that began at the time of, at the began after Adam Arishon, who knew there was a God. So what happened? It was that they began to, as the years left, as the excitement of creation wore off, they began to see the natural world as a thing in and of itself. Olam k'minhago noheg. The world runs by itself. Ha'adam amakir b'chashivuso b'yonoso shkol yitzurim tofes es mitzios kiyumo k'achreach habriya v'tachlisa. Then what happened is a person who understands how important he is vis-a-vis everything else thinks that he is obviously the purpose of creation. He's obviously necessary. Omer hu, halo kulam nivru ulisham sheni. Everything is here for me. Af he'elohu yud nitzrachim heim lo. Right? God must need me too. Right? And God must need these things. I'm really important. Ulekachu ovdam. Laham shichlo etashpa'atam atova kol achad lefitzarcha v'inyanav. Rishayim miskaimim al Eloheihem. The Gemara tells us that Rishayim are on top of their gods, and we are beneath our God. Rishayim think that God needs them. And we know that we just need God. Ba'omek ka'inyan ein kan avoda klal. Kasher inyana hu, I don't know what that word is. Kasher inyana hu ligarmaihu. If the purpose of the world is me, then that's not avoda. The essence of avoda is it's not about me. And God doesn't even need me on some level. I need him. The further away we got from that moment of creation, the more Tefillah descended, the more people forgot about Tefillah, the more people were utilizing, recognized the message of Tefillah. In order to get back to this, we have to bring the world back to where it was. Okay? I'm going a little faster here. There was never a human being that got it, that he's just a creation, more than Adam HaRishon. But also rega habriya shiyotza mitachas yado yisparach, hikir betachlis hahakara, he understood fully, v'yoda betachlis hayadiyah shekol metzius kuyumu b'ritzono yisparach. He understood everything was from Hashem, that's what I explained before. Uba'osa harega nolda hatfila harishona ba'olam. And at that moment, tefillah started, and we're going to continue with this idea next week. But let me just explain, because I don't want to go into that footnote, but that footnote is a very important, it's going to be a very important footnote. It's known in the Kisvei HaArizal, that at the end of time, tefillah is supposed to take on a much more important role. I have in one of the chapters in the Sefer that we're writing now, so we're talking about why we should make an avoda of tefillah today. And I quote the Shemi Shmuel, who quotes others, that basically as we get closer to the end of time, tefillah is going to become more and more essential in terms of God's plan. The problem is that they don't explain why that is. They don't explain why as we get closer to the end of time that tefillah might be taking on an outsized role. But I think based on this chapter, I think that that makes sense. According to the Kabbalists, according to the mystics, where are we going at the end of time? Back to Eden. The Ramban and others describe that the whole world is this whole big circle to try to get back to Gan Eden. Had Adam HaRishon made the right choice, had he held out, had he not listened to his urges, had Adam and Chava not sinned, then the world would have been 20 minutes away from just the end of time, and everything would have been wonderful, and everyone would have lived peace forever. They have this concept that because Adam HaRishon sinned, the world went like this, and it's taking all of history. We saw this in the Derech Hashem, all of history to get back. But what was that Nakuda? What was the original state? The original state was a state not of great knowledge of Torah. Adam HaRishon was not a Talmud Chacham. Adam HaRishon was not a great Baal Chesed. He wasn't even He didn't even have another human being to do chesed to when he was created. We're trying to get back to the original, to the moment of creation was the most perfect moment, says the Rambam. What did you have at that moment of creation? You had a complete awareness that everything came from Hashem. That's the mitzvah of tefillah. That's not Torah. That's not avodah. That's not Torah. That's not gemilas chasadim. That's avodah. So could it be that that's why, as we enter the last stages of time, that tefillah once again becomes a critical, perhaps the most critical element of our service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we're trying to get back to that moment, we're closing in on that moment where we come back to Gan Eden, whatever that means. But we know one thing about Gan Eden. Everyone in Gan Eden understood that everything was there from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That they understood. They had just been, whatever it means, I don't understand the creation story either. And I don't know evolution, and I don't know this and that. I don't necessarily believe that one day, poof, they came into the world. But however Adam and Chava were there with a recognition that God had put them there, and God wanted them to start a world of some sort. And that they owed everything to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's where the world has to get back to in order to finish history. So all the Torah learning is very important. And all the Gemilas Chasadim is very important. But the world didn't start with Torah, and it didn't start with Gemilas Chasadim. It started with Avodah. It started with Tefillah. It started with that recognition that everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what our goal is in these days before the time of Mashiach. To try to take every little thing back in the world and connect it back to him. It was all his. It was all in front of him. It was all there. He had it. Everything got, everyone and everything got it, that it was dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was no place. You could feel the HaKadosh Baruch Hu misaleches betoch hagan. Everywhere you went, there was no natural world. You understood that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was everywhere. The best vehicle that we have to do that is tefillah. And maybe, I don't know, I didn't get a chance to ask the Ari or Chaim Vital, who he quotes, but maybe that's why tefillah becomes of paramount importance as we enter into the last time in history.
So can we look at Adam and Chava's mission actually being to sin so that they could...
It could very well be. You're saying something that some say. It's hard to understand, you know...
They had this reality, if they knew this...
Right. It's hard to say. We have statements at the beginning of the Torah like Bishvil Reshit, Bereshit, Bara Elokim. So Rashi says, what does it mean, Bereshit? Bishvil Reshit. That it was created for the Jewish people. And it was created for keeping the Torah. If Adam and Chava hadn't sinned, it looks like mankind would have remained in Gan Eden and not went down to Egypt and not gotten the Torah. And it's almost an absurdity to the mind. So it almost looks like what you're saying, Dr. Mark, is that Adam and Chava was a setup. They had to fail, they had to fall, and they had to give birth to history. So why put them there? So we know what we're trying to get back to. Right? In other words, the world started, according to this version, the world started at its high point. But at least now we know what that high point was. Mankind has experienced that high point, and now it has to go through thousands of years and work and lives, death and whatever to be able to get back there. Right? It's a similar thing as a famous Gemara in Nida. The Gemara says that before a baby is born, they learn the whole Torah inside their mother's womb. Right? Everybody knows this Gemara. And on the way out, they get punched. And that's what this thing is over here. This is where we got hit. So what was the point of learning? Rav Soloveitchik said, what's the point of learning the whole Torah if you're going to forget it on the way out? We still have never met anybody who ducked. So what's the point of learning the whole Torah? So it's different when you're climbing back to something than when you've never experienced it before. When we get there, we'll know. When we get there, we'll know. It's like a homecoming. It's a tshuva. The whole world is experiencing a kind of tshuva. Rav Kook spoke about that idea. That there's not just individual tshuva. There's universal tshuva. That everything is coming back towards a certain goal. It's a very deep idea.
If we're moving further and further away from what that ideal was, how are we going to ever get get enough people to believe that that's what the ideal is.
Well, the idea is that on the one hand, it's getting harder, because as the years go on, it gets harder. But from the time of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the tide turned. That's the point. For 2,000 years, it was just literally, from this point up here, it was just a continuous dive, whatever Noah did or not. It was basically a continuous dive to take us into this hole. And then for the next 3,700 years, we've been climbing out of that hole. We have a lot of stumbles, we this and that, but basically that's what happened. So that's what it means that that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were like a new world. That was like the starting point again. That was the end of the fall. The fall of Adam ended 2,000 years later. And then we start climbing out according to these mystics. That's what.
So God is giving us actually more time than he gave to the Avos.
Right, at least we're trying. We're trying. You know, we have our ups and downs. But we're trying. Until Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, there was no way out. Okay, so we're going to pick up on that footnote, understand a little bit more about the first prayer ever uttered. According to the Chazal, the first prayer was uttered not by Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, but by Adam Arishon. And we'll try to understand that prayer a little better next week. Okay, have a happy Yom Ha'atzmaut, everybody.
Thank you, too.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Bye, thank you.
Thanks.
All right, everybody.